This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercies endureth forever. Let us pray together. God, our Father, again, we thank You for this preaching moment. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who is here now, and we pray now that You will minister to each of us according to our individual needs. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of an almighty God. Let me say to you, I am delighted to be here. I'm very, very grateful that I was asked to come. I thank all of you students in particular. That I know any of you that have come in contact with Miss Ricky Blakeney, God is teaching you patience. So I'm very grateful. Every Sunday I see her back, I know that you are growing in the Lord. But I'm very, very happy for Minister Blakeney, who has been an outstanding member at our church. That she has grown up under me for all of her life that she can remember just about. So I'm very grateful to see what the Lord is doing within and through her. I'm grateful for, stand them out, but I see members of Ridgewood that I'm very, very grateful that some of you had to take off work to come. Thank God for the praise team and the musicians and our minister of music who thought it not robbery to take off from work and come and support. I'm also grateful to your president, Dr. Jones, for his kindness. We thank God for him and his leadership, for Sister Jones, his wife, who has always been one who smiled, to show forth the love of Christ in her life, and as she has taken up some of the responsibility to help raise Ricky for me here. So I'm very, very happy. And the board members that has introduced yourself to me, God bless you so much. Now, I know I don't have the privilege that I have at Ridgewood, because at Ridgewood I preach long as I wanna. And I don't know if this is normal, but I didn't know if Ricky may have told them, but when they sent that letter, they allowed me to know how much time I have, and that clock gonna count backwards when it's time for me to get out of here. GJ, you really gonna have to help me this time. If you see me getting close to about 25 minutes till, you start playing. And if I'm not finished by 25 minutes or 20 minutes, y'all start singing, then I know. To sit down, but we're not going to stand before you long. I just want to throw out a couple of things to you. I know you are in school, so I'm not a professor, and so I won't get up here and try to impress you as a professor. If you come today to be impressed by the speaker, you're going to be disappointed. I'm telling you in advance. But if you come to see Jesus and Him crucified in the Word of God, where you can apply it and then He can use you to bless somebody else, then we're here on the same purpose. And I'm just going to go according to the theme that was given to me, and I hope Ricky has given me the right theme so I won't come up here with the wrong stuff. And the theme that I was told was the gospel in the community. And looking at the gospel in the community, we know the gospel and we pretty much know the community, because we're going to look at two aspects of the gospel and the community, because we are sitting in the middle. And I kind of want us to see where the gospel community, where does the end come from? And I really believe that we are the end. But we also have to realize that we're going to have to look at this practically and positionally. That even though we can look at the position of the community, we have to realize we are also in the community. So we have some practicalness that we have to do in the community while we are ministering to the community. So when I begin to hash that through, a particular passage of scripture come my way, and it began to fit, and it seemed like that it made sense. So I'm hoping that it makes sense to you. So if you would turn with me, that you probably already know as soon as I say it, John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Those who've gone through John already know what that is saying, and you're absolutely right. We're going to point right there at the man that was born blind from birth. And see if we can see where it makes sense concerning the gospel in the community. And we know that the gospel is the good news, and we know the good news is Jesus. So basically, it's saying Jesus in the community. My topic, if I had to use a subject, I normally don't use subject at Ridgewood, but since I'm not at Ridgewood, I have to have a subject. And so since I have to have a subject, I'm just going to use the subject, walking in the light. Walking in the light. And some of us confuse ourselves concerning walking in the light. Walking in the light means that you're in the light, and walk is what we do. So therefore, when we say walk in the light, we're basically saying progress in the light. Don't stand still in the light. Don't stand in the light, but walk in the light. And the only way you can walk in the light is you got to move. You got to make progress. Right. You see, some of us end up with our minds not right graduating as a freshman. And what I mean by that is that we are no closer to the Lord when we graduate than when we started as a freshman. And our responsibility is to progress in the Lord. So when we graduated, you can tell the difference from my freshman year with my relationship with the Lord and my senior year with my connection with Him. Therefore, I have an experience with Him that you cannot take from me. So if you're talking about progress in the Lord, and we're talking about progress and walking in the Lord, since that's what I do as a human is walk. So I progress in the Lord. So we have to say walk in the Lord. I shared with Ridgewood maybe a year and a half ago. It's amazing how the Lord used little practical things you go through to show you some spiritual things. I was in my yard, and I was cleaning my car up, and I was trying to hurry up and get it done, and the sun was going down. And how many of us in the house know what is called a lightning bug? Anybody ever seen a lightning bug? Okay. Now, I assume those who didn't raise your hand, you didn't see one. You are responding to me correctly. Come back and forth with me just for a little while. I only have about 15 more minutes, so you don't have to respond long. The lightning bug, it was very, very interesting because I was trying to hurry up, and it got old folk used to say, dust dark. It started getting a little dark. And then all of a sudden, every now and then, I seen a little lightning bug come. And then I just kept hurrying up, and it got dark on me. And then when I look around, I seen all the lightning bugs just all around. Now, logically, I left my garage door up. And so I said, I don't want all those bugs in my garage. So I looked around, and this is when they first, you know, when they first come out, you just see them everywhere. And so what I did, I stopped what I was doing, and I literally ran to my garage to hit the button to let the garage door down. And then by the time I got there, I looked back, and guess what I did not see? I did not see not one lightning bug. All of them were still out there in the yard, just light. And I noticed, I said, you know, I ran to the garage for nothing. I even walked back out to the edge of the garage. And it's almost like that. Why y'all didn't come in? And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart with, which was amazing. And I'll never forget it. The Lord spoke to me in my yard. Oh, sir. He said, a lightning bug won't go to the light.
Come on, preacher.
Because they won't be seen. Lightning bug went right there to the light. But if they went inside the light, nobody would see their glow. What am I trying to tell you? When God has given you something, and even when it becomes difficult, stay where you are. Because you shine the brightest in darkness. All of us want to run around other Christians. Some of us don't talk about Jesus until we talk about somebody who knows Jesus. It's difficult to go in a dark community with your light bright and you the only bright thing out there. And that's what the Lord began to impress upon my heart. Quit wanting to be around saved folk all the time. They don't need you for salvation. Talk about Jesus with those who don't know Jesus. Then your light shine bright. And I say that because if we are walking in the light, we are to progress in the light. And so when I'm progressing in the light, that means I need to be progressing like Jesus progressed. And what Jesus showed me in this passage that I want to share with you is that, first of all, verse 1 said that Jesus passed by along with the disciples. But guess where he was when he passed by? He was in the community. So what I want to share with you, if we say the gospel in the community, I just want us to see what the gospel in the community looks like. See, it's easy and good to come up with these themes, but can you allow the theme to penetrate to your behavior and action? Jesus was passing by. And just in case if time run out on me, I didn't plan to say this on this part, but it's so important, I want you to know this. That is so important to know that even when I cannot request what I need for my recovery, I got confident in this passage to know that Jesus see what I need without me being able to ask. So set the stage. Here you have a blind man who could not see Jesus, even though Jesus was passing through the community. I thank God to know that a principle being taught here, that Jesus can see me even when I don't see him. When I cannot do nothing for myself, and everybody else around me don't want to be around me because I'm in need. It is to be encouraged to you to say, in spite of my friends don't want to hang around me because I don't have nothing to benefit them, Jesus still see my condition. And even if I don't know how deep I'm in, he sees me and he has the power to bring me out.
Oh, preacher.
So this is what the gospel in the community looks like. It looks like that you go to the community to help the community and not expect the community to help you. Some of us can't even pastor without having the right salary. Some of us won't even be youth ministers if you don't get a cut in pay. This is what the gospel in the community looks like. And I find it amazing how the Lord, I don't have time, but if I had time, I would like for us to see where we fit at in the community. Because looking at the community, the Lord showed us what the community, the condition of the community, which means the community is in need. That's the condition of the community in this story here. The community is in need because it's blind. And I think the Lord connected. So some think that it connected with chapter 10, which I don't doubt it. But I lean back to chapter 8 when the woman was caught in adultery and Jesus introduced her that he is the light of the world. And then he come right here and say, you know, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world in verse 5. Because that was a connection to let us know that as long as I'm here, I can produce a light for you. And see, when you're walking in the light, that means you have all you need. All you need.
Yeah, Yeah.
Oh, you need. I mentioned to Ridgewood a couple of times that we are to be like spiders. You see, when you begin to walk in the light, that means that you are in the light. Now, let me help you know that when you are in the light, you're not the only one to know that you're in the light. Because light gives off source to see, but also light exposes you. So you can't be no secret Christian. Because the light that's in you, when you go in darkness, they have to look at you and see that you are different. But as the spider is, we have to be like a spider. When we're walking in the light, and I say when you're walking in the light, you have everything you need. Notice a spider. When a spider's want to get from A to B, you know, sometimes you see him hanging in between times. And you say, oh, he done thought too big of himself. He thought of a place that he can't get to. But all of a sudden, you see that spider reach down within himself and pull out some more web. You know what that's saying? That the spider say, I don't have to call in an order for some web because I manufacture it within me. So what I'm saying, when you are walking in the light, when you have not achieved what you want to achieve, you don't have to quit because the Holy Spirit is in you. All I say to you, reach down in you where God has put all your power and be like a spider. I'm so glad I brought the praise team. Ain't nobody saying amen. Okay. How much time I got? Okay. I'm almost done. He emphasizes the fact, this is where you come and see the disciples. And I said, if I had time, this is what I would do. I would like to show us the disciples that's in here. And I would like for us to see, which I'm discussing now, a man opposed to a blind man. Jesus seeing a man that just happened to be born blind. And then you will see in verse 8 that there are some neighbors. And in 13, you see that there are some Pharisees. So you will be able to see how everybody act in the community at the same time. So you will see the community as far as the need, but you also will see what's in the community, and we will see where we fit at. But I found it interesting that even the disciples, when it comes down to Jesus walking by and seeing a man born blind from birth, the disciples didn't run to Jesus and say, Jesus, what can we do in order to help this man in the community? The community is in need. Jesus, what can we do? And this is when you begin to see, you better watch why you study what you study. It's good to study and know as much as you can know, but if you don't have the right motive, your study can get you worse off than you not knowing anything at all. That, remember, this is what happened to the Pharisees. I always tell Ridgewood that I find it amazing that when Jesus came, the Lord had to leave all those who knew scriptures and had the degrees and go find some wise men.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah. You're going to get that in a little bit. I just find it amazing that the disciples didn't see the need. The disciples seen that it was time for a theological analysis.
Right
now. They didn't want to know, Lord, what we're going to do to handle this. They want to know why he's like that.
Right now.
And that's what some of us do in our communities. We don't want to repair the community. We just want to write down to have a paper to say the reason why the community are the way they are. This is what the gospel in the community looks like. Notice what Jesus did. Jesus ignored the discussion of the cause and jumped straight over to the purpose. In other words, Scripture tells us that Jesus came down to give us an example whereby to follow in his footsteps in 1 Peter 2:21. And what he was doing was giving us an example to quit being so concerned about the cause. Even if you knew why, you couldn't do nothing with your thinking, no way. So he said, be more concerned of the purpose.
And so just to feed on more, when you start talking about, they say this man, oh, his parents sinned. The transmigration, as some see it, as far as one soul being transferred to another soul, let's keep going on and on. This is why he said, who sinned? This man or was it? And others feel that the fetus can sin, which means thinking that once you become born, even in your mother's womb, that you have the opportunity to think whether or not you love the Lord or not. And he was thinking that maybe he didn't love God when the impression came upon him, even though he didn't have a developed mouth to speak. So there was a whole lot of theological debates to go on that they say, well, this is Jesus, so let's throw this out at him so that the Lord can help us and we'll be able to discuss some things with the Pharisees. In other words, the Lord is saying, I'm not concerned of how good you look around the table. I'm more concerned on what you're going to do with the information you already have. And so it behooves us to understand that the Lord put that there for a reason, for us to understand, quit trying to find out the cause, but get close enough and walk in the light so that you can have the purpose. Now, let me jump to this because my time is running. Oh, I got a minute and 43 seconds. You right, oh, bless him, Lord. I want to say this very quickly. Notice how Jesus, you've seen the condition, but you also have to see the cure. The cure is all in the hands of Jesus. Notice what Jesus did. Jesus took saliva and dirt, made clay, put on the eyes. I believe Jesus wants us to know, and this is more for us, that he's willing to use anybody that's willing to be used, no matter your condition of your or your past. Now, why did I say that? Where did I get that from? Who in here go behind somebody and pick up spit?
I know.
When you see somebody spit on the floor, oh, Lord. You know, in the dorm, they're always telling you, why you got that trash on the floor? And you're sweeping it out, which means he took two nothings and put it together and did an anointing, which the Lord is saying, when you came here, I knew you was nothing. And when you got here, you didn't do all you thought you was going to do. And to some people, you are still nothing. But if you want me to use you, get in my hands. You see, there is power in the hands of Jesus. But I can't go no further because I got 17, 16, 15 more seconds. But I want you to know that the condition also has the cure, and the cure is in the hands of Jesus. Anybody been blessed today?
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.